Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
You're watching Best Seat Now with Robert Kramer and Daniel Bobo Burley. I will see you soon. Bartender!
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Best Seat in the House podcast. I'm your host, Rob Kramer, live from my house. Not the usual studio, but ready to go tonight for game five of the Rangers series. The Mets going tonight. And I'm joined by, as always, my co-host, Daniel Bobo Curlin. And Dan, why don't you let the crowd know where you are tonight?
Yep, that's right. I'm here from Donovan's Pub in the Woodside area, Queens, New York. By the way, we got to thank Tino Visconti for that wonderful intro that he was kind enough to film for us.
Absolutely. Dan, as he said, is live in Woodside, Queens at Donovan's Pub tonight to watch the games. And before we get going and everything, we have to thank the great Gino Visconti, just as Dan just said. He gave us a great intro into our show. This is our 10th episode right now. We got the great Gino Visconti. Gino is freaking hilarious. Such a nice thing of him to do. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. Dan, and Dan, you know what? You had a really fun time on In Hot Water last week with those guys. How was that like?
Yep, that's right. You did a wonderful job. As you can see right now, we're down, but we have a small deficit. We're down 3-1, but it's not insurmountable. Knowing our Rangers, we can pull this comeback off. And I'm not ready to shave off the spear just yet.
You got that right, buddy. And so while we're getting into it right now, let's just start with the Rangers. I mean, you know, me and you, we'll get our introductions done in a little bit. You know, if you've been watching Best Seat in the House podcast, you know me and you know Dan. And guess what? After these last couple of games, when we last left you, the Rangers were down in the series 0-1. They had just lost a triple overtime game one at Madison Square Garden in heartbreaking fashion. They came back in game two looking like that New York Ranger team that we fell in love with all season, winning that game 5-2 at the Garden. But ever since it's gone to Pittsburgh, it's been another story. What's that, Dan?
More importantly, game two, they won in front of me.
Very true. Very true. Our own Daniel Bobo Curlin was in the house for game two at Madison Square Garden. Now, what was that like, Dan? I'm sure the crowd was freaking pumped up.
Yep. And then, of course, game three, I was on my way home from some stuff I was doing outside, from outside the house, and unfortunately, we lost that game. We lost a heartbreaker after we had overcame a deficit, tied a game. We unfortunately lost it. And then, of course, unfortunately, no defense in game four.
Yeah, there's really hasn't been much defense since game two, the game that you were at. But boy, man, the last two games have just been so tough to watch. They ran Shesterkin out after the first period in game three, where the Rangers were down 4-1. They put in Georgiev, who played very well. You know, in a very tough circumstance, you got to give it to Georgiev for hanging in there for his teammates and keeping them in the game. The team was able to rally back and tie the game 4-4 before, unfortunately, they allowed that fifth goal. Georgiev would allow that one in. You know, you can't really blame him for that. The team still is not playing great defense in front of him. And then they ended up allowing two empty net goals at the end of that. You know, and as a matter, while we're on that, Dan, let me ask you, what do you think of all this stuff about what head coaches do these days, how quickly they pull their goalies? I mean, you know, I don't think that the Rangers needed to pull Georgiev that early and allowing two empty net goals to make it a 7-4 game. these
you have to have Igor in the game the whole time. He needs to get used to this, get used to the playoffs. Hopefully we're playing better defense today in front of him. We gotta play like it's everything on the line tonight and hope and take it one, we gotta take it one game at a time.
Exactly. Hopefully, the whole season. What's that, Dan?
Hopefully we'll get a win today. Hopefully the Garden faithful will pump the team up.
Exactly. And, you know, just like you said, the whole season is on the line right now. Every single thing that this team has worked for and achieved this whole season is on the line tonight. I mean, losing in five games to Pittsburgh would just be a terrible, terrible way to go in the offseason after a team where you're probably going to have Igor is probably going to win the Vezina. I think that's pretty much a slam dunk at this point. You know, the Rangers were just this close to winning the division. They really were in striking distance really late in the season until Carolina pulled away by a couple of games. But I mean, boy, to win 52 games and to be eliminated within the first five of your playoff run, that would just be heartbreaking, right?
Yeah, it would be heartbreaking. It would be a big letdown after everything we did to get here, to lose in the first round. I can't see no way we're going to lose this in the first round. We got to do this. I'm not ready to shave off my beard yet.
Me too, buddy. I'm with you. Now, let me ask you, while we're talking about this series, who were a couple of the people, if you were looking at the Rangers as a whole right now, who would you blame if you had to pick one or two people to blame for, and it is a whole team effort, but if you were going to single one or two guys out on this team, who are you looking at that shoulders a lot of the blame for these first couple of, these last two losses in Pittsburgh?
I feel it's mostly the defense for most of the game. It would be definitely the defense and allowing all those goals to score, not allowing Igor to be able to do his thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've definitely felt the loss of Ryan Lindgren over these last couple of games. That's been noticeable. But one other guy that I will point out, and I know, you know, Justin Braun hasn't been great. You know, even Adam Fox, defensively, Fox has not been great either. He's been very good offensively, but he kind of has lapses defensively, especially going against that Crosby line that's been so good so far. But one guy that I really want to single out that I'm completely sick of seeing is Patrick Nemeth. Now, I know it's not all his fault. Like I said, it's been a team effort with how bad this team has been over the last couple of games. But Patrick Nemeth just seems to be the first guy to take a penalty. He leads the Rangers in penalties, you know, so far. He's been the guy in the box every single time something big happens. And it's not reflecting in his plus minus. He was even last game. But he's still Patrick Nemeth is getting to the point now where I don't want to see him on the Rangers next year. I know he's got a 3-year contract. I know he's got a no movement clause. But I'm getting sick of this guy. What are your thoughts on Patrick Nemeth so far?
Yeah, I feel Patrick Nemeth is partly to let the blame for the last two games. And, of course, there's another thing we got to mention. We can't forget the refs who crossed us game one. They are still on the Scheiser list, the refs.
No doubt about it. The referees have been terrible in this series. I still don't understand how the goal that Crosby scored in the last game that tied it up 1-1 after Lafreniere put the Rangers up early. There's no video evidence of that goal crossing the line. So I still don't understand how that counted too. And it took them a 10-minute review or whatever it was to actually give them that goal, but whatever. You know, one thing I will say too, though, is as much as the referees have been bad in this series, it's not all the referees. And the Rangers, especially defensively, have been terrible in this series. Very, very disappointing, especially after how defensively responsible they were after the trade deadline. I mean, they went from middle of the pack defensively with all their metrics to top five in the league for that last month and a half after the trade deadline. And it's just all gone out the window. And I guess you can kind of look at the fact that they're also missing guys like Mott. They're missing Lindgren. They're missing, a few of these regulars. And it's just really hurting right now. But the big question is, Dan, do you think the Rangers get it done tonight?
I feel they can do this. They can play better than this. Our defense is what got us here. I'm hoping it can carry us and help us pull off this insurmountable comeback.
I'm with you too. And this isn't the first time that the Rangers have been in a situation like this. If we remember, in 2014, the year the Rangers went all the way to the Stanley Cup Final, in the second round, they were down 3-1 to these same Penguins and came back, won the series 4-3. If we all remember, that was the series where Martin Saint-Louis' mother passed away, and he ended up missing the next game, but came back scoring big goals and really just shouldering putting this Rangers team, or that Rangers team, should I say, on his shoulders, and really took us all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. I'm not hoping anybody's mom dies, but let's hope that something happens and this team can rally around that. And you know what a lot of people have pointed out over the last couple of days is the Rangers' lack of a captain. Do you think the lack of a captain is having an impact on this series right now?
It may have, that we don't have a clear captain, but as far as they see it right now, Chris Kreider needs to be named the captain already.
I'm totally with you on that. I definitely think that Kreider should be captain too. But you know what though? The Rangers do have a very good and experienced, group of guys at the top of the lineup, where you have Artemi Panarin, who garners a lot of respect from his teammates, obviously. Chris Kreider, who had the 52-goal season, and even if he didn't, would still garner a lot of respect from his teammates. And Mika Zibanejad. But you know what, though? The one thing the Rangers do need from all those guys, aside from the obvious leadership qualities, is they have to start producing more on the ice. I know we saw that three-point game from Panarin earlier in the series, and he scored a goal after that again. And he's had a decent series. Kreider's been decent too, but Mika Zibanejad has been largely invisible at times. Especially, he still hasn't registered a goal through the first four games. Kreider he's shown up sometimes, and he's also been invisible at other times. These guys really have to get their act together, and the Rangers need their three best players outside of Shesterkin to start getting the job done. What's the problem, buddy? You okay?
I'm okay. I'm just checking to make sure what TV's tuned MSG.
Oh, okay.
They just switched up the setup. Don't know why they put a TV tuned to yes when the Yankees game already happened.
Oh, that's true. If you need to relocate, buddy.
Yeah, they got like one TV in front of me, two DS, one SNY, and one of them to the right of me is the MSG.
Well, like we said, these are the things that happen when you're in a great bar like Donovan's, where you're checking the game out right now and other people want to see other things. So, I think by the time game time rolls around, we're about 40 minutes away from puck drop right now at Madison Square Garden. As you can see, that's where I am right now, obviously. It's definitely not a green screen or anything.
It's like you're sitting somewhere in the suite in a garden.
Exactly. I got my Rangers jersey on too, just like you. So,
and as you see, I got my Broadway hat on today.
There you go, buddy. So we're ready for the New York Rangers to start the comeback tonight. Let's hope Igor Shesterkin starts writing his playoff history tonight, getting his second playoff win. That would be great. And let's just start things off simple. Let's take it to game six and win one in their building and bring it back. Right, buddy?
Yep, that's right. I think we can do this. Let's win these next two, bring it to game seven back at the Garden. pull off the answer man and we'll come back. It's going to happen right here. It starts tonight, baby.
From your lips to God's ears, buddy. And, you know, we, while we're talking hockey too, actually, there was some really interesting news across town that broke just a couple of days ago. The Islanders fired their head coach, Barry Trotz, shockingly. What are your thoughts on that, man? I cannot believe the Islanders fired him.
That is absurd that they did that. The guy got their team to the playoffs all every year except for one as a coach. And because of one little thing that didn't quite go well, they let him go. I think they made a big mistake. A lot of my friends who and relatives that are Islander fans, they think he made a mistake. It could bite in the ass after.
I totally agree, man. You know, this really reminds me of old school Islanders doing dumb shit where I just didn't understand it at all. I mean, and you know what, though? I will give them this. Lou Lamoriello does deserve the benefit of the doubt because he is a hell of a GM and he knows exactly what he's doing. I think he might have made a mistake here, though, because you can't blame Barry Trotz for the season they had. The Islanders started the year on a 13-game road trip, which is crazy anyway. And then they lost their entire team because of COVID. What, you know, once the Islanders got healthy, they played pretty good hockey and ended up finishing technically over 500 if you don't count the overtime losses. But, you know, the Islanders, 37, 35, and 10, Barry Trotz, the 2 years before that, got to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 6 and Game 7 against the eventual champion, Tampa Bay Lightning. So really, really bad move. You know what this reminds me of? If you remember, back when the Islanders had that team in the early 2000s where they had Alexei Yashin and Michael Pekka and Chris Osgood and really had a good run for a couple of years, their head coach was Peter Laviolette. Now, they had one bad year and missed the playoffs and fired Peter Laviolette, who would go on to be hired by the Carolina Hurricanes and win a Stanley Cup 2 years later. I always thought that was one of the dumbest moves the Islanders made, and this just really reminds me of it. And it would not surprise me to see Barry Trotz winning another Stanley Cup in a couple of years, Dan. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was completely absurd. The owner of the Islanders, I forgot, does Charlie Wang still own the team?
No, he's involved somewhat, but their new owner is the guy Scott Ledecky.
Yeah, I lost track because I remember that guy, from what I gather from my friends who were Islander fans and my relatives, that he looked like he was just owning the Islanders as a tax write-off back then.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. You're right. And that's what it felt like a lot, especially during those years where they had Garth Snow as their GM. And I just never understood that. I didn't think Garth Snow was a very good GM. And it really proved that to be true when they hired Lou Lamoriello. And in the span of about a year, not even, with pretty much the same roster that Garth Snow had, the Islanders ended up going to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. So yeah, very, very strange news from the Islanders firing Barry Trotz. So, just wanted to get your thoughts on that, too, while we were talking some hockey. And just to quickly move on, too, because, you know, we want to make sure that we're getting all this stuff in tonight. We'll get to the Mets in a second right now. But, let's start up with the Yankees. Yankees won again today. They end up beating the Blue Jays. They beat the Blue Jays yesterday after a walk-off Aaron Judge 3-run home run. And me and you have been saying this all year, buddy. It looks like Aaron Judge is ready for a big-ass season, right?
Yeah, he looks like he's having a decent season, trying to earn his payday. And it looks like, but still what matters is the playoffs. So regular season is good, but what matters is the playoffs. And I have a feeling the Yankees don't look like they have enough pitching for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I definitely don't disagree with you. Although it does look like it's good for them, where their bullpen has been very good. Gerrit Cole has really gotten himself back on track. And boy, one guy who has really just impressed me, and he actually took a no-hitter into the eighth inning earlier this week against Texas, is Nestor Cortes. What do you think about Nestor Cortes?
What were you saying again?
The Yankees pitcher, Nestor Cortes. He took a no-hitter earlier into the eighth inning earlier this week, and he's just had a hell of a season so far. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, he looks like he's decent so far, but it looks like I won't really have a good gauge on him until after a full season, because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Very true. Very true, man. And, you know, I feel the same way about on our side of the town. I feel the same way about Tylor McGill, who I really, really like. But I also don't want to anoint him the second coming of Jacob DeGrom right now, like a lot of people are trying to. I really love what I see out of Tylor McGill. I think he's a very capable, good major league pitcher. But I also think he's kind of pitching above his pay grade right now, or his talent level, maybe even a little bit to a certain extent. I really like Tylor McGill. I think he's going to have a, you know, very nice major league career ahead of him. What are your thoughts on McGill so far, who goes tonight, by the way, against Washington?
McGill is a great pitcher. He kind of reminded me of DeGrom when he first came to the Mets. Like, he had low expectations, but that didn't bother him. He just pitched well enough to get called up, and he pitched well once he got there. And I think because last year he's got, like, sort of a full season under his belt, he's going to be ready to have an even bigger year than last year.
And yeah, you're right. Oh, continue, buddy.
Exactly, and I think it's a matter of time before you start seeing the big seven line sell the big drip t-shirts.
You're right. I love that nickname, Big Drip, too, right? He always seems to be coming up in these big spots, so it's going to be really interesting to see how he does against Washington tonight. Really cool for Tylor McGill, who didn't even technically make the original Mets roster until Jake had to hit the IL. Now, we did get some Jacob DeGrom news earlier this week, too, where they're saying he's starting to throw from a flat ground at 60 feet right now, and that's got to be good news to hear, right, Dan?
Yep, that is good news. I feel Jacob's on pace to get to the point where he will be, hopefully by June, he'll be ready for that second half push, and he'll have, hopefully if all goes well, he'll have a monster second half, and he'll be there when we need him the most.
Yeah, you're right, man. And, you know, maybe taking these first 2 months off for DeGrom, like you said, is going to be a good thing. It's going to allow him to save those bullets and be ready for the second half, just like you said. And, one thing, the Mets did make a transaction earlier this week where they placed DeGrom on the 60-day injured list, which kind of worried a lot of Mets fans, but they don't realize, too, that it's retroactive to the beginning of the season. So DeGrom, nobody expected him before June 1st anyway, and all this does is mean that he can't come off the IL before June 6th. So I would expect to see him sometime between June 6th, June 10th, right in that area, right in that wheelhouse, right there. With the corresponding move in the open 40-man roster spot, the Mets picked up a former Chicago Cub lefty, Locke St. John is his name. So he's had pretty decent AAA numbers, not too good at the major league level. So just another depth piece for the Mets to have, which you can, as we've seen with the Mets in years past, especially with guys like David Peterson and Tylor McGill filling in the rotation, you could never have too much depth, right, Dan?
Yep, I feel we've had a good team so far. So far, our pitching's clicked, and our offense is slowly getting there. Yeah. And we got a good offense, and hopefully the bullpen lives up to their end. I just know I got to also, by the way, I went to my first away game trip of 2022 this year. Last weekend, I saw them on the road in Philly at the doubleheader.
That's true. That's true. You saw the doubleheader. You saw them split on Mother's Day. So you had a very busy week too. You were at the playoff game. You did In Hot Water. You did the doubleheader down in Philly. Really fun week for you there, Dan, right?
Yeah, that was great to see them at least win the second game. Hopefully get that bad taste in my mouth for the last time I was there in Philly when we fell out of first place. I was there, and that was not a fun memory when we fell out of first place.
Oh, that was in August of last year, right?
Yep, August of last year I was there. This time it looked like maybe it might have been a big moment that maybe is going to lead to hopefully a big season for the Mets.
You got that right, man. And I think, the Mets are really primed for a run here. If they could go out and sweep these three games against the Washington Nationals, who are, at this point, they're as Keith.
The Washington Walgreens.
Yeah, the Washington Walgreens.
Walgreens logo.
It looks just like it. You're right. And, as the great Keith Hernandez would say, that they've become a second division team lately, the last couple of years, ever since their World Series championship in 2019, they've had a couple of consecutive last place finishes. So, as we're seeing this year, it looks like that's going to happen. And as a matter of fact, right now, Dan, I look up in the middle of our baseball discussion and I just saw Ryan Lindgren skating around in uniform on the Madison Square Garden ice. So he did not practice yesterday and he did not practice today, but it looks like Ryan Lindgren is going to be a game time decision and a very good shot that he's going to play tonight. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be good. It's good news. It's going to shore up our defense. And I expect a great, great defense today. And hopefully we have a big shutout from Igor today.
Oh, that would be great, man. I mean, just to see that from Igor. So we're about 25 minutes away from puck drop right now. The seeing Ryan Lindgren up there just caught my attention. So very good to see. Let's keep our fingers crossed that Lindy's back in the lineup tonight. Just to get back on the Mets now. So like we were saying, I think the Mets really are primed for a run here. If they could sweep the Nationals, they're going to be 23-10, 13 games over 500. Now, last year, the Mets might have been in first place for a long time, but they really didn't pull over that 10-game over 500 mark too often, if ever. And they just could never really put the rest of their division in the rearview mirror. They now have a 7-game lead, and they're 11 games over 500 as we enter tonight. It just feels different this year, right, Dan?
Yep, it just feels different this year with the Mets. It feels like we're not going to pull the sleeve. We're going to hold it all the way through. This could be one of the biggest blowout regular seasons since that magical year we won it all.
You got that right, man. 1986. Now, if you look at this, 1976, which the Mets actually had a good team that year. They were 86-76 behind Joe Frazier, who was a short-lived manager with the Mets. The Mets just could not hit for crap that year. The only guy on the team who really hit was Dave Kingman. But they had such good pitching between Kuzman and Seaver and Mickey Lolich and a couple other guys that had great years. The Mets still won 86 games, even though they couldn't hit. And that was the last time before this year that the Mets were the first team to 10 wins and the first team to 20 wins in a season. So it's been a long time since we started a season this hot, right, Dan?
Yeah, I could say that's a good thing. Anytime you're mentioned, a pitching staff is mentioned in the same breath as a pitching staff that had Kuzman and Seaver, you're doing something good.
That's a damn good point, man. You got that right. So, and we don't even have Jake back yet. That just goes to show you, I mean, Scherzer has been fantastic so far. You love what you see out of him, and you expected that. But one thing I did not expect was these last two great starts out of Cookie Carrasco. Man, Carlos Carrasco has come over here. He had such a rough time getting back on the field last year. And then even when he did last, he just did not pitch well, especially in the first inning. But boy, has he been on point this year. 8 shutout innings against the Braves last week. And then he follows it up with great pitching up into, you know, into deep into the 7th inning in yesterday's game. Boy, hey, how are you feeling about Cookie Carrasco so far?
Seizure, I had a seizure. I had a feeling was going to live up to the expectations. He just seems to have that makeup that he knows how to pitch in big spots. He knew New York was going to be big, and he's handling it well so far.
Oh, absolutely. But how about Cookie Carrasco?
Carrasco, I feel he fought. Last year, he was kind of rebounding from injuries. This year, he had a normal offseason, so I feel he's showing, living up to his potential right now.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because he did not have a normal offseason, you know, in 2021, and then he suffered that calf injury that really screwed him up for the whole season, and he never really got his legs underneath him. But boy, he has just looked on point. And then when you mix in Tylor McGill and David Peterson showing that he's still got good stuff whenever they need to plug him in the rotation.
And you can't forget Chris Bassick, who was eager for, who was working toward being at a big spot at a team that was a contender. And he was able to come here from pretty much Oakland is a farm team for other teams these days.
That's true. That's true. Chris Bassett has pitched fantastic. He won the nightcap of the doubleheader that you went to in Philadelphia on Sunday on Mother's Day. That was really great pitching from him. He got his pitch count up a little high, so he only pitched 5 2/3 innings. But he got the win. He's 4-2 so far. His ERA has been sparkling, and it's been great to watch him pitch. Just, guys like me and you have watched the Mets over the last few years. We're used to power pitchers like, you know, DeGrom and Scherzer and guys who aren't here anymore, like Syndergaard and Harvey, who we watched over the last decade. We haven't really seen a finesse, quote unquote, pitcher. I mean, I guess you could maybe say Bartolo Colon had a little bit of that in him. Obviously, R.A. Dickey. But boy, Chris Bassett and his ability to get ground balls, just really, really fun to watch, right?
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I'm so glad to be able to be alive to see this happening right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And obviously the Mets bit the bullet last week and got rid of Robinson Cano. We still have Edwin Diaz on the team. But what do you think about the Mets biting the bullet on Cano? Do you think that they should have waited a little bit longer? Do you think it was a mistake? Or do you think they should have just got rid of him and see you later?
I feel Robinson Cano, his bat speed looks slow. Like, it was obvious they were gonna have to let him go. Steve Cohen has some money to pay him the rest of what he owes him. And it's not gonna be clear, it's not a Bobby Bonilla situation. He's being paid not interest, but for this year and next year, he's being paid for those 2 years. And not interest, just pay what he owes right now, not pay it later. And Steve Cohen was able to do that, so we're in good shape now. We got our lineup is where it should be. We have that DH spot opens for someone like Dominic Smith.
Exactly. Who is in the lineup tonight, by the way, and they have Pete DHing. So I love seeing Dominic Smith get the playing time. I love seeing JD Davis get the playing time. And look, I think that Cano still might have a little bit left in him. I think Cano could go to another team, you know, wherever that may be, and he could have a decent season. But you know what, though? We're in a position now as Met fans where we can't wait. We can't wait for Robinson Cano to come around. We're a winning team. We're in first place. And this isn't, you know, poverty time in Queens anymore. We've got an owner who told our general manager, Billy Epler, to make the baseball decision. And that baseball's decision was to tell Robbie Cano to pack his bags. And whether you like Robinson Cano or not, I think that was the right decision. Right, Dan?
Yep, that's right. We got a GM that's going to be, that knows what he's doing. And we got an owner like Steve Cohen who has the money and resources. So we're in good shape. I feel like at the trading deadline, we might make a move for at least one more bat, maybe another bullpen arm. We'll see what happens for the trading deadline. That's probably what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Hey, you're absolutely right, buddy. All right, and, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up here on the Best Seat in the House podcast as – oh, actually, hang on one sec. All right.
Right, ready.
Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. I dropped my phone. I was just going to reference this. Okay, now I want to thank everybody for sticking around to the Best Seat in the House podcast with me and Dan here. We're making this a little bit abbreviated this, you know, this week so we could get it in before the Rangers elimination playoff game tonight and the Met game tonight. But you know, Dan, there's one thing I did want to tell you. I was looking at the as we're filming this right now, the Rangers are out for warmups on the ice. I was mentioning how Ryan Lindgren came out. But these are what the lines look like so far, as it's Kreider, Zibanejad, and Vetrano in the first line, Panarin, Strom, and Kopp on the second, Laff, Hedel, and Kako on the third, so they still got that kid line together, and then Rooney and Reeves with Dryden Hunt on that fourth line. Now, if you look at the defense, we were talking about the less-than-stellar play of Patrick Nemeth earlier today. Well, it looks like with the addition of Lindgren to the lineup tonight, it looks like Patrick Nemeth is going to be the odd man out, as the way the defense is on for the rushes tonight, it's Miller and Trouba as the top pair, Lindgren and Fox in the second pair, and Braun and Schneider on the third pair. So they're moving Braun to his offside and dropped Nemeth out of the lineup. Now, Nemeth is still skating, so there is a chance he could play tonight. They're saying that, you know, Lindgren looks better out there. Maybe he's testing it. I don't think that Lindgren would be in uniform if he wasn't going to play tonight, right? What do you think, Dan?
It's going to be a game-time decision, but hopefully he's in tonight. And let's go get that W. Let's go, Rangers.
You got that right, Dan. Why don't you try to get a Let's Go Rangers chant started? Let's go.
Let's go, Rangers. Let's go, Rangers.
There we go. Let's go, Rangers. Donovan's Pub represented out there with Danny Bobo Curlin out there. You know, we got there's so much on the line tonight with this Rangers game. It's just really, you know, it's going to be fun for them to play, I'm sure, but it's going to be scary as hell for us to watch. I mean, that's one thing about playoff hockey. We haven't seen a real playoff hockey game before this series in 5 years. And boy, the one thing you forget is the gut wrenching and the nail biting and just the edge of your seat that these playoffs will have you on, Dan. Especially being there last week, how was that being in the house for that?
Yep, that's what it is. It's going to be nail biting, and I picked a good place to watch Game 5 because aside from the Garden, this is a great place. It'll be full of Ranger fans. There's probably just a lot of people talking, but come game time, it'll be lively.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know that there's going to be a lot of Rangers fans there. People are going to be pumped up. You know, and also too, maybe the fact that the Rangers are down 3-1, people aren't like there early yet, but you know, the Ranger fans are going to show up. It's really, especially the upper echelon of the Rangers fans in the upper deck, right about, let's see, right about you hear where my finger is. There's a lot of good Ranger fans out there, a lot of blue-collar guys. I'm sure they're all going to be hanging out with Bo down at Donovan's Pub in Woodside, Queens. You know, just a really fun atmosphere if you want to go catch the game down there. They got the Met game on too, obviously. So just really enjoy yourself tonight, man. And let's just hope we could go out there and get a W and bring this back to Pittsburgh, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, we got to get that done. You know, and also before we get out of here too, I want to talk for a minute really quick about the little mini camps that our Jets and Giants had. You know, the Jets had rookie mini camp this past week. Seen a lot of those guys in pads. Sauce Gardner ended up signing his contract. Really early signing for the contract too, Dan, right? Usually you don't see these guys sign too early, right?
I think this team looks great. This Giants team looks great. We've won big during this draft. And right now it's a little early to tell because it's mini camp. But hopefully it goes off as we hope it does so far. Also, I'm kind of shocked about the latest broadcaster news. Tom Brady's going to be in a booth with Kevin Burkhardt. Kevin Burkhardt, I know, is a great, as we've seen here in New York. We saw him on SNY. He's now going to be calling the Super Bowl. But Tom Brady, this one, I don't know what to make of him as a broadcaster. It might be, I don't know, I might have to mute it when they're in the booth for the Giants game and put the WFAN.
Dude, very, very good call. Fox Sports, just like you said, with Kevin Burkhardt, gave Tom Brady a 10-year, $375 million contract to do their on-air NFL games.
Just when we thought we couldn't get rid of John, we got rid of John Buck. He shows up for Monday Night Football.
You're right.
Playing Monday night, it's also going to be mute the game and let Bob Papa and Carl Banks call the game.
Yeah. Although I will say this, I think Brady has a decent chance to be a decent announcer. I'm really hoping that he is a lot more, you know, Tony Romo or Troy Aikman, and a lot less A-Rod.
Actually, hopefully he does well because he's got more of a modern era of the NFL experience. So hopefully he'll have that insight.
Yeah, you know, I could definitely see Brady, like you just said, having good insight. I mean, this guy he knows what it takes to win in the NFL. So it'll be an interesting perspective seeing him. And also an interesting fact about that too, the $375 million that he signed for, that's more money than he made in his entire 20-year NFL career. Isn't that a little crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. It proves that you've had to play for a long time to make money in the NFL, right? There are people who play teammates with Tom Brady who didn't end up with that kind of money. If you ever do get the chance, watch the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, Broke. And you will be shocked of what happens with all these NFL guys. I see a lot of NBA guys. I don't see much with baseball, but NFL and NBA, they seem to have made bad financial situations. Maybe bought too many of the same car.
Yeah, very true, very true. Or the old Allen Iverson deal where Allen Iverson, every time they'd go on the road, would buy a full wardrobe for his hotel room, wear one thing out of it once, and then leave the rest of the wardrobe and not take anything with him. And now they wonder why Allen Iverson is kind of broke these days. Well, something tells me that Tom Brady is not going to be broke anytime soon.
Yep, exactly. He managed his money right, and he'll be set for life. And hopefully he gets out of this season. Tom Brady, maybe, I know he has one, but maybe you need to retire. You've won everything you need to win. You could win in football. Save yourself from getting a concussion.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, Brady only had that one season in 2008 where I think he tore his ACL or whatever it was, where he missed that season. But that's the only significant injury he's ever really sustained in the NFL. Never really had a big-time concussion, although I'm sure he's had many of them in his career, but nothing career-ending or anything like that. So, yeah, let's just, you know, look, I'm a Jets fan. Obviously, you're a Giants fan. We both don't love Tom Brady, but we also don't wish ill on him. So, you know, stay healthy, Tom. I hope you don't win another Super Bowl this year, but let's hope you're going into your post-NFL career, you know, nice and healthy. And we'll see. Who knows? Maybe you'll end up being everybody's new favorite analyst, because it seems like people are getting kind of sick of Tony Romo.
Yep, that's right. Hopefully it works out good. And and still Tom Brady, my Giants beat you twice. Remember that. We beat you twice.
You got that right, man. The Giants did, in fact, beat them twice. Super Bowl 42, Super Bowl 46. As we've mentioned many times on this show already, 46 highlighted by the East Side Dave, Fuck Tom Brady song, right, Dan?
Yep, that's right, a classic song. I remember listening to it on the plane before, on the way to Super Bowl, before the plane took off and we went to Super Bowl 46. Great song, classic song. If you haven't listened to it, go watch it, listen to it, love it. Also, before we end the show, I gotta plug my Twitter account, Bobo103NYC, and also on Instagram, Bobo718DK, and Daniel Curlin on YouTube.
Absolutely. Follow Dan on all those platforms. He's a great follow. And while we're on it, you could check me out on Twitter at my last name, Kramer, NY for New York, Kramer NY. You can check me out there. And check out the show at its best seat in the house, BSITH, at BSITH_podcast on Twitter. Check us out there. Also on Instagram at Best Seat in the House Podcast. And of course on YouTube, where we're about to crack a milestone, 100 subscribers. You know, we did that relatively quickly, buddy. We're about to crack that. And, you know, hopefully the next week or so. We're about 95 subscribers right now. So, you know, if you haven't already, please subscribe, take the time. You know, it definitely helps our numbers out a lot. And, you know, check us out, Best Seat in the House Podcast on YouTube. Right, Dan?
Yep, that's right. And before we go, Kramer, let's say this one together as we end the show.
Let's do it.
All right, ready? Let's go,
Rangers! Let's go, Rangers! Let's go, Rangers! Let's go, Rangers! All right, buddy. Now let's go out and win game 5. We got a big win from the Yankees today. We got a big game tonight with the Mets against Washington and Tyler McGill going, and obviously the Rangers with their playoff lives on the line tonight at Madison Square Garden. Let's go get that W, right, buddy?
Yep, that's right.
All right, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in here, everybody who checks us out every week. Thank you, my partner, my buddy, Daniel Bobo Curlin, for joining us live from Donovan's Pub in Woodside. Here I am at fake Madison Square Garden, and because obviously the real Madison Square Garden is a little bit more filled than this right now. And
we're about to start soon.
The puck drop is about to happen. We're about to check this out. They're showing some of Henrik Lundqvist's greatest playoff moments, which it's so beautiful. It can bring a tear to your eye. Let's hope Igor Shesterkin can reenact a couple of those tonight and get the W. So for the final time, for the Best Seat in the House Podcast, I'm Rob Kramer. This is my co-host, Daniel Bobo Curlin. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be back next week with a more normal episode. And let's go Rangers, right, Dan?
Yep, let's go Rangers.
Let's go Rangers. All right, everybody. Have a good night. And we'll catch you next week on Best Seat in the House podcast.